coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha, coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Hyundai and Toyota Studios, right here off of Airport Boulevard in Mobile, Alabama. It's a beautiful and sunny Saturday morning, and you know, the crispness in the air, the humidity in the air, definitely means that fall sports is back in high school sports. You had volleyball practice that got started this week, cross country, swimming, football, all the fall sports that we love to support and talk about here on the Prep Sports Report. 52 weeks out of the year is upon us. Corey Labounty, Mark Lasseter, Dalton Orwig on the boards. You can give us a phone call on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Line at 251-343-0106. We would love to hear from you and your expectations on this upcoming high school football, baseball, softball, cross-country season, any sport that's coming here, 2019-2020 season. We would love to hear from you and what matchups you're looking forward to or what rivalries you really enjoy being a part of. But, Coach, going to come right off the top rope. Just mentioned the heat and the humidity that comes along with summer running over into fall. And Dale County High School avoided a tremendous loss as one of their players this week had a cardiac situation, and the staff and their emergency action plan and having an available AED saved this young man's life, Coach. And I know this is something that's near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, it is. I read this story and I just, you know, my heart, first of all, went out to the young man who fell out. And then my heart was so full of joy to understand that this school system, this school, this staff was trained and knew what to do. They have a plan in place. And, you know, when you have emergency plans in place and people pay attention to what's going on, when they sit in these CPR meetings and they get trained and they're paying attention, they know what is to happen, then they give these plans to their staffs. And each sport has a plan. You know, football, if you're out on the field, this person, this coach does this, this coach does this, this coach, and everybody knows what to do, and it all goes into action. And it happened for this young fella, and he was revived. And, you know, what an amazing, amazing story this is. And it can happen in anything. It doesn't have to be football. You know, you hear these things happen in football every year. But it happens in all kinds of things every year. It's not just football it happens in. And I don't want this to make sound like it's some sort of negative aspect about football, because it's not. It's just, you know, he's outside and for some reason either he wasn't acclimated to the heat or his body just didn't function well that day. It happens, you know. And so he fell out and his heart quit beating and the CPR group went in. And another thing. Kudos for that school system and that school for having an AED machine there to save this young man's life.
Assistant coach Dusty Harrison performed CPR on 15-year-old Adavian Jackson for 3 to 4 minutes, and then assistant coach Ethan Allen took control until the paramedics could get on scene. And Adavion is recovering at the Children's Hospital of Alabama. And we're just happy that, again, the staff had in place an emergency action plan. An AED was only 150 feet away and available. And, again, this could happen in any sport, indoors, outdoors, whether it's hot, whether it's wintertime, it does not matter. The point is that an AED was available and the coaches were prepared and knew how to use it, and a young high school student athlete's life was saved, and the doctors will continue to find out what that underlying cause is. But we're just glad that a plan was implemented and this young man is safe. And just want to, you know, recommend to all the parents who are listening, all the student athletes who are listening, make sure that your athletes are hydrating 24 hours prior to going out and participating. And I know with schools starting back in Mobile County and getting ready to start back in Baldwin County, kids get excited. They get out of their routine. They don't like to nourish and hydrate themselves the way they should. But that's something that when they're with the coaches, when with the parents, make sure that your kids are eating properly, making sure they're getting the proper rest, and making sure they're hydrating, coach, are so important and instrumental in the overall health of our young student athletes.
It absolutely is. Eating is just as important, making sure they eat good meals, lots of carbohydrates, lots of food get in their system throughout the day, not just one meal and our snacks here. I mean, good meals throughout the day. They stay nourished, and hydration is extremely important throughout the day. Not tea, Coca-Colas, but rather it would be better to have water or some sort of Gatorade or something of that nature, but some sort of fluids to go into their system to keep them hydrated, because they don't realize, especially in football, when you put those pads on and you're covered up, your body's covered in stuff that's going to make you hot. It's already hot enough. Heat index on Thursday, I think, or Friday was 102. That was a heat index. So if their kids are out there practicing and playing in that heat, they're going to get so hot, they lose a lot more fluid than they realize. That's why it is so important to keep hydrating all of the time. I would also say that any of these, I'll put it this way. At Bayside Academy, we are very fortunate that we have, first of all, our trainer, Beth Johnston, is one of the best in the world. She saved my life, y'all. And I thank the world of her. I tell her I love her every single day that I see her. But she is the one who works very hard to implement our CPR program at our school. And one of the things that she has pushed over the years is to have as many AED units on site, any place that we're playing ball, practicing, whatever, there is always a unit. There's one at our 64, one or two at our 64 complex. There's 9 on our school campus. So, people are always saying, what can I do for your program, coach? What can I do? If you can't think of anything else, I mean, I would think right off, for me now, I'm saying buy an AED unit. Donate it to the school.
Coach,
it's for everybody at that school.
Everybody, every student, every adult, everybody that is accounted for on that campus. It could even be a visitor to your campus who just has an underlying heart problem and goes in the defib. It's a situation to where I think the Dale County Superintendent, Ben Baker, he said he spent extra money in his school system to make sure the schools have more than one AED on their campus. And that's so instrumental into saving lives.
And you know what? And here's is my point in this whole thing. Here's the superintendent who did this. Okay, if he didn't do anything else in the rest of his life, he saved one person's life, which you cannot calculate in any terms of money, thoughts, whatever. You can't calculate the wealth that he gave to this world, because he helped save a young man's life. Those coaches saved a person's life. Phil Lazenby saved my life. Beth Johnston, Jamie Ferguson. I can go on and on about the people who saved my life, because they were trained in it. And guys, I'm telling you, there's nothing. And I'm passionate about this because, I mean, that's why I'm here today, because of this program. The American Heart Association talks about it all the time. If they're, whatever they do to raise money and make awareness of heart disease and heart problems, whatever they do saves one person's life, then all the millions of dollars that they could possibly raise within the 100 years is worth it. It saved a person's life, and that, to me, is paramount.
And here's the thing about Adavian that occurred. He is 15 years old. This incident occurred at 7:15 in the morning in conditioning drills, on the third play of conditioning drills. It didn't happen at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It happened at 7:15 in the a.m., so it can happen at
any time,
any place. It could have happened in the hallways during school. It's just the point that AEDs save lives. The coaches at Dale County are to be commended for implementing their strategy and their emergency action plan when Adavian Jackson went down, again, a 15-year-old player at Dale County High School, went into cardiac arrest and was saved by the coaching staff's heads up and emergency action plan. So we just want to give kudos to Dale County High School's head football coach, Don Moore, his assistant coaches, the superintendent of Dale County. We want to thank you very much for being properly prepared to deal with this type of emergency. Want to thank the WYEA 106.5 in Sylacauga and 105.1 The Lake joining us on Radio Alabama on the Prep Sports Report. Coming up next, we have a guest, a head football coach from Bob Jones High School. Don't want to go anywhere. Kevin Rose coming up next.
The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Corey LeBounty, Mark Lassiter, Dalton Orwig, Philip on the phone lines. 251-343-0106 is how you can jump in and talk to us on the Prep Sports Report. And joining us this morning on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication line is the head football coach of Bob Jones High School, Kevin Rose. Kevin, good morning and thanks for joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report.
Good morning, Corey. Good morning, Mark.
Coach, how are you, babe? It's been a long time. I hadn't seen you in a while. You doing all right?
Doing very well. Very well.
I hear you, buddy.
Coach, it's that time of year to where 7-on-7 is behind us. Had an opportunity the first couple of days to go in shells, and I guarantee sometime this week the pads went to popping for Bob Jones. Talk to us this season, what the expectations are for the Bob Jones Patriots and where your team is hopefully going to be going this year.
You know, I think when you're in 7A football, I think it's a lot like the NFL. You know, the expectations are if you don't play good every Friday night, you're going to get beat. You know, I coached in lower classifications for years, and nothing wrong with those schools. But, you know, when I was at Destro, for example, I was there 6 years, and you know, other than the Russell and Carver County game, you know, if the bus didn't crash, we were going to win, you know.
Right.
But when you get to 7A football, everybody on our schedule is outstanding. Out of 10 games, maybe 9 of them will be decided in the last 60 seconds. You know, so I think you just got to take it one week at a time and try to put your best foot forward and try to improve every week and just try to go 1-0 each week and not worry about the expectations. You know, when you get to the end of the line, try to put yourself in a position to get in the playoffs and win a playoff game.
You open up, Coach, with Christian Brothers. Is that out of Memphis?
They're out of Memphis, Tennessee, and we beat them last year 17-16 on 4th-and-2 on the last play of the game.
Wow. That school's got some history. Now, they've had a really good program up there for a long time. I mean, I'm going to tell my age here, Coach. Back in the late 70s, one of my college roommates played football at Christian Brothers. And they were really good back then, and I've kind of lost track. But I understand that throughout the years, they have always been a really good football program off and on for the last 30, 40 years.
Well, it's probably the best private school, you know, out of Memphis. And we all know, you know, you're at a private school, you tend to attract, you know, really good players and really good kids. And that typically turns into a good football team.
Right.
Without question, Coach. Coach, you're entering your 11th season as the head football coach at Bob Jones High School. And out of that 11 years getting ready to go into, you've made the playoffs 10 straight years. And I think that's the tip of your cap because just a couple of years ago, we made the transformation over to 7A. So you were doing very well at the 6A level as well. I have a question for you. What is it? What is the dynamic like of coaching your own son, having the opportunity? Caden Rose is your son. What is it like having an opportunity not only to coach him but to watch him develop as a player, and how tough is that sometimes balancing the parent/coaching aspect of it?
You know, I haven't had a trouble balancing the coach-parent aspect. And fortunately for me, he's a very good player. You know, I can see where it could be a bad experience for you if, you know, if your son was not a good player. But he's a very good player, so his play kind of speaks for himself. I've enjoyed being out there with him. You know, obviously, anytime you're coaching, you're always going to have naysayers that, you know, say this or that, you know. But, I mean, he's a hustler. He's got a great attitude. He's a good athlete. You know, it's been a good experience for me.
Coach, when you look at your schedule, as you look down through it throughout the year, and I was kind of looking over it, you know, with your region play, there's some really, really good football teams that jump off the page at me when I look at it. And you were just saying, you know, you can't, in 7A football, you can't have an off week. You've got to be ready to go every single week because anybody can beat you on any given day. Tell me, when you look at your schedule, there are some games that you just kind of look like you're looking at and you say, this is a must-have at this point in the season. We've got to get this one. And how do you prepare your kids for these kind of games and not let them get too high about it and keep on an even keel week by week?
Well, I mean, obviously the James Clemens game is our first region game. It's our biggest rival. It's a game that we've won, you know, 6 out of 7 years or 7 out of 8 years. But they, you know, they beat us last season, and you know, you want to open region play 1-0. So obviously, that's a huge football game for us.
No question about it, Coach. We're speaking with head football coach at Bob Jones High School, Kevin Rose, and his team came off a 6-5 season a year ago, losing in the first round of the AHSAA playoffs to Hoover. Coach, returning this season, I think you may have 5 returning starters on offense and defensively. Tell us what you have coming back and what it's going to mean to have returners on both sides of the football.
Well, we've got about 5 on defense too, but you know, 2 of those 5 are guys that are going to have to cross over and play both ways, which is not something I believe in 7A football, but you know, it is what it is. You know, when they split the school, it really created some depth issues for us. I mean, we've gone from having 200 players my first year to now we have 100, you know. So you definitely have some issues, and we have 2 or 3 guys that have to cross over and play both ways, and we probably have to play slower, play more of a NFL style and try to keep the snaps, you know, to 50 instead of trying, you know, we used to pride ourselves on trying to get 80 snaps, but, you know, when you're playing guys both ways, you can't play that way.
That's exactly right, and especially early in the season, Coach, you know how hot it is, all the humidity, and those guys, it zaps them, especially those first few games. You know, they're all jacked up, and they're ready to play, and they're hot, and then they get out there, and before you know it, they've gotten themselves too hot, too fast, and you have to really work on getting them ready to scale that back a little bit so they play hard, but they don't overdo it, and you have to try to control that as best you can. I know that's what we've seen. And early on in your season, you're going to have to do that, especially when you start off with Christian Brothers and Muscle Shoals and then the big region game with James Clemens.
And once you lose one, you can't get them back. I mean, right. All the Gatorade in the world.
Right.
You know, once a guy goes down because of heat or exhaustion or whatever, cramps, you know, he's not going to come back and be effective. So you really got to be smart about not using too many snaps too early.
You know, I'm going to go back a little bit in history, Coach. You remember this? I was thinking of this morning. I think one of the first times that you and I ever had a chance to sit and chat or talk, but we really actually was over the phone. If I remember correctly, you were at Deschler, and
right.
I was at Hamilton High School.
Right.
And I think we had played midfield and lost to midfield in the second round of the playoffs, and y'all were playing in the next week. And I think that was one of the first. It was on a Sunday morning, I believe. We called and talked and kind of developed a friendship from that first discussion. And I think it's amazing how things roll like that. You know what I mean? And that's what I love about the coaching profession and Coach Rose. I think you were coaching defense then. Is that correct?
No, I was offense
coordinator. I couldn't. Okay.
And the tip that I got from you was that helped us win the football game and win the state championship. You know, the tip that I got from you was that they were super talented, but their defensive tackles ran upfield, and y'all had some success with the, you know, the fullback trap.
Right.
So if we played them that night, and I bet we ran either the fullback trap or a version of it, what I used to call gut.
Right.
Which was a false key, and we probably ran that 14 times and just gashed them and beat their eyes out.
Awesome.
I mean, it's just a coaching circle that we here at the Prep Sports Report love, just the bond that coaches have an opportunity. It's the circle of life, circle of coaches, to where that was over 20 years ago. Yeah. And just to be able to talk to Coach Lasseter this morning, he's smiling and all giddy. He said, I know Coach Rose. It's been, I can't remember how long it's been, but we talked football, and that's the brotherhood that I love about coaching that never dies.
That's right, absolutely. Like I said, just that one conversation, like I mean, I'm not exaggerating that. I mean, that was pivotal in us winning that semifinal game and winning the state championship.
Well, Coach, we have about a minute left with you. Just want to thank you for joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report, and we'll continue to stay in touch and see how Bob Jones progresses throughout your tough schedule. It's one of the toughest you said you've ever had, and just want to wish you the best, and thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Take care, buddy. Good luck.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Kevin Rose, the head football coach at Bob Jones, is in a tough 7A Region 4, and he mentioned that the big rivalry game for them is James Clemens. He says he wants to win that one, has a couple of non-region games early, but that James Clemens game is one he definitely has circled on his calendar because they are the defending region champion. Don't want to go anywhere because right here next on the Prep Sports Report, we have another wonderful guest coming up talking high school sports here as the 2019-2020 high school season is upon us.
The Prep Sports Report is brought to you by Future Ones, providers of practice apparel and scout team jerseys with interchangeable numbers. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Going to jump right to the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication line this morning. Joining us is the 2020 Saraland High School signal caller, quarterback Brett Nizat. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Brett. Good morning.
Morning. How's it going?
Outstanding, brother. I just want to, first of all, commend you. I had an opportunity to see you about a month ago at Marlon Humphrey's invitational only football camp. And there were some pretty special football coaches there that had particular interest in your skill set at the quarterback position. You got tutelage by Jameis Winston and also Nick Mullins, who is the starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers a year ago, and walked away with the MVP of that camp at the quarterback position. So first of all, I want to congratulate you on that and jump right into you and ask you, how cool was that and what did you learn from that quarterback situation being taught by those guys?
It was great. Being able to be coached by those guys, I was able to ask them about the different levels that they played at and what's the biggest difference. And they just said, everybody really on defense knows what they're doing, so you got to prepare your game to know what they're doing and you're doing. It just, the higher you go, the more, or the, I would say the better it gets.
Without question, Brett. And you took that MVP, and I know you've had some training 7-on-7, and you had an opportunity now to get ready to start your 2019 senior season at Saraland High School. 1 year ago, made it all the way to the state championship game. You had a great bunch of guys, great bunch of coaches that were around you. I know Coach Kelly has preached, hey, we're looking forward now. We're going to put that in the rearview mirror. This is a new season. Now we're becoming the hunted and not the hunter. What are you looking forward to the most in this 2019 football season, your last high school football season?
Well, we definitely want to make it back and finish what we started last year. But I'm excited about the team because we got a lot of returning starters and got some younger guys stepping up. So I'm just looking forward to it.
You're looking forward to your senior year. What did you learn the most about last year, and how is it going to help you evolve into the type of quarterback that you really feel that you can be this season?
Probably learning the most were with the reads of the defense, and if they're moving, like halfway through my call, I've just gotten better at reading that with Coach Kelly. So I feel like I'm going to be a better quarterback with that and be able to play faster.
Well, you know, you have a great quarterback coach who happens to also be the head coach at Sarah Lynn High School, Jeff Kelly, a wonderful high school quarterback himself, wonderful college quarterback, and he's played at that next level as well. But talk to me about some of your teammates that you kind of got a chemistry with. You have a wonderful and dynamic running back behind you, Rashawn McAlpine, and then you have some wide receivers that I know you've kind of gotten comfortable with as well. Talk to us about this 2019 Sarah Lynn Spartan team and what names we'll be hearing from you throwing the ball to and handing the ball off to, and the guys who will be keeping you upright and blocking for you as well. Talk to us about those guys.
Well, we got Rashawn McAlpine, and we have another running back, Warren Crawford, and that gives us a lot of options. Those two guys are really, really good. But receiver wise, got DJ Thomas, big receiver, Darrell Williams, and Jerome York. You'll be hearing those names a lot. Over the off season, we've really been working on it, and we got a good chemistry going. But up front with my center, Josh Dunham. He does a good job of getting me the ball right where I need to. I mean, he don't really have any bad snaps, so that's all I can ask for.
And that's so key. That's so key in the shotgun. You know, the ball's got to get to you so the play stays on time. And, you know, that center guy, he gets overlooked a whole lot. And what you're saying right there, Bud, is paramount in the shot. Anytime you run a gun offense, it all starts with that guy snapping the ball. That ball's got to hit you. You really want every play that ball to hit you right in a certain spot, right there where you want it, so the play stays on time.
Yes, sir. That's all I can ask for from him.
Now, your running back, isn't he he's being recruited a pretty good bit. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Because I think I came over and y'all played Fairhope in the spring game?
Yes.
I thought so. I came over and watched – I was able to get over and watch the last part of that. That was a really fine little spring football game. I thought you guys did a really good – I mean, I know I talked to Coach Kelly about it, and y'all were not happy about a few things here and a few things there, but I thought overall it was a really good showing by both teams, especially I thought you guys did a really good job of playing hard offensively and defensively all night long.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Also, you know, you're looking at a situation that you guys did play in the state championship game, but I want you to kind of rewind one last time for me. I had an opportunity to call your Sarah Lynn Blunt game last year on the MCPSS television network. Tell me about that game and winning it in overtime and the way it did and what you remember the most about that game. And is that one of your most memorable moments as a high school football player?
This is definitely one of my most memorable moments. Only game with a touchdown catch.
A touchdown catch by the quarterback. Tell us how that transpired.
Well, we it's the last drive overtime, and it was, I think, third down. So it was really our last play to be able to do anything. And I trust he's a senior last year named Tig Taylor. He was one of my go-to guys, and I trusted him, and he could throw the ball. So just kind of caught up the Philly special, and the rest was history.
And that's a touchdown catch that I know you wouldn't have lived down if you would have dropped that particular pass. I know you made sure you took care of the football, and now I know you guys celebrated tremendously. But, you know, Brett, it's one of those situations to where I'm personally going to speak from what I've seen, the attributes that you have. I know a lot of colleges have not really – to me, giving you the type of opportunity that you deserve, and I'm going to personally speak for myself in watching your play on the football field. I know the offers are going to continue to come in. You continue to remain humble, continue to work hard, and do what you do. And college coaches out there, if you have not had an opportunity to see, watch, or hear about Brett Neesat, you need to pop in his Huddle Film or YouTube or Google him or do whatever you need to do, because he is a very special talent. To me, he has Power 5 talent. And, you know, you came behind Jack West, who's currently at Stanford, and I know that you probably learned and got some tidbits from him as well. But I just want to wish you the best in this 2019 football season. And I know you have all the support staff of your mom and dad who take you on all these recruiting trips and visits and are very supportive of you. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to shout them out this morning as well.
I appreciate that. Yeah, my mom and my dad, they're everything to me. I'm just so thankful for them giving me all the opportunities they have, sacrificing everything for me. They, I don't think they know how much it really means to me that they sacrifice so much, and I'm just really thankful for them.
Well, Brett, I tell you what, we're thankful that you've given us some of your time this Saturday morning, and look forward to watching you open up the 2019 football season. Who are the Saraland Spartans facing in week zero?
We got Andalusia.
Andalusia, never an easy or a dull moment. And to me, you know, 6A Region 1 is always called the SEC West, so I know it's a week-to-week grind that you're looking forward to in your senior year. Want to wish you nothing but the best and wish the Saraland Spartans nothing but the best in that beautiful and wonderful practice facility that you all have. What is it like when it gets thunderstorms now to have that new practice facility as well?
Oh, that's amazing. We used to have to stop and just go in and talk about practice, but now if it ever starts to rain or lightning, we can just go under there and continue getting our work in. So I'm really blessed to be where I am, having that school and the city support behind it just to let us have that place.
Brett Neesat, the starting quarterback for the Saraland Spartans, getting ready to start his 2019 football season and his senior season at Saraland High School. Just want to thank you for your time this morning and wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir, buddy. Good luck to you, pal.
Brett Neesat joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report. An outstanding young man, has an outstanding family, and just always enjoy talking to him and watching him develop. I was at Faith Academy a few years ago, and his mom coached some volleyball over there and just had an opportunity to continue to watch him grow. And now to see him at almost 6'6", and he slimmed down some, that's one of the things that I know he and his dad and I talked about, is just how could he improve. And he said, look, his muscle mass has gotten better. He's slimmed down some. So he's just continuing to work hard, and that work ethic is going to pay off for him, Coach.
Absolutely. And we look forward to watching everything that goes on with him this year. And Saraland, Jeff Kelly and his bunch over there, they're going to do a great job as always. They do a great job coaching, and kudos to that community for what they've done supporting that high school, not only athletically but academically as well. They do a lot of great things there at that school, and the leadership of that entire school system is to be commended. You spoke about volleyball. We got some volleyball coaches that are going to join us here in a little while. Ann Schilling at the top of the hour. Is going to talk to us for a little bit, and going into another season at Bayside Academy, and I have to get a calculator out to remember how many state championships it is in a row now.
Unbelievable. When you can lose count as to how many state championships you won in a row,
That's
pretty impressive.
I have to go into the gym and look at the wall and remember how many it is, because it's like there's a whole thing sitting up there with all of them in a row. And I had to get a calculator. And 1, 2, 3, 18. No, I think it's like 17.
It is 17 in a row. 17 in a row. 17 state volleyball championships in a row, and Schilling and the Lady Admirals have won. So we'll have her on at the top of the next hour, and also going to speak to Gretchen Boykin, the head volleyball coach at Spanish Fort, as her Lady Toros are getting ready to start the season. The preseason rankings came out in volleyball as well, so we'll talk to both coaches about the rankings and how their teams are trying to kind of get ready for the 2019 season, what they've done this summer to prepare. So look forward to speaking to them next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5 with Coach Mark Lasseter, Dalton on the board. Philip on the phone lines, give us a call, 251-343-0106.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
I'm not Rick Cleveland. The big guy is on assignment this Saturday. Look forward to having the three amigos all back together next week here on the Prep Sports Report. Just want to wish Rick the best on his last-minute vacationing. And joining me in the studio was Mark Lasseter, Dalton Orwig, and Philip on the phone lines. Dalt, I know one of the things that I love the most is when people reach out to us on social media, because we have great Facebook posts, Twitter posts. How can people get in touch with us?
Yeah, we've been trying to update Facebook a little bit more often, but you can find us there on Facebook, Prep Sports Report 1065. And if you're looking for us on Twitter, at PSR underscore 1065. You can also find me personally at Dalton Orwig, O-R-W-I-G, and Corey at C-A LeBounty. But if you miss the show, we try to upload the podcast every week following Saturday morning when we're on the air here. And you can find that at fmtalk1065.com or by subscribing to the FM Talk 1065 podcasts.
And just want to thank Coach Kevin Rose and Brett Nizat this morning so far for joining us on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines. And the next on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines is Thomas. Good morning, Thomas. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. How are you doing, Corey?
Doing outstanding. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Yes, it's a pleasure to listen to Mark, Dalton, and Philip. 52 weeks a year. I enjoy it.
Well, thank we're you glad so you listen to us every week, buddy. We appreciate it.
Okay, Mark. Say, listen, I'm really excited about the season coming up. I follow the high school football, especially, and my team's Spanish Fort, and of course, Cerro. And I have a favor of both of those teams, and it was tough last year. I didn't know who to support.
Yeah, I mean, those two teams playing each other.
Team.
That's right. That's right. I agree. Two, and then in the same region as well. So they're going to play one another every single year. So you just, what do you, flip a coin, Thomas, to figure out who you want to root for on that Friday night?
I flip somebody near me.
Hey.
I like this the throw down. Yeah. I was a wrestler.
I hear you.
So I like to throw somebody down. Yeah. Say, I'm very concerned. Spanish Fort and Spanish Fort and Faro are having elections for the school system for more money, and these school systems really do. Excuse my throat here. They do need more money, and I'm concerned about this thing going on. The 58,000 students in the Mobile school system, their sports, all their sports, and the Baldwin County sports, and then transporting the kids to the different venues. This bridge deal has to be defeated. The school system cannot afford $25 for a bus to go across the waters. And I would hope that the teachers, the coaches, and the students get together and try to defeat this thing. I think it's terrible. They put this on the people, small businesses, and the poor families.
Well, Thomas, want to thank you this morning for calling us, and I know that is a concern that's going to be ongoing, and that's part of the legislation. You know, whether you like the tolls, whether you don't like the tolls, I know Coach Lasseter and Coach Cleveland come across the water to join us on the Prep Sports Report every single 52 weeks out of the year. So it'll be an interesting situation to see how all that unfolds. I have a caller who wants to know, can you talk about the football 40-second play clock and how that will affect play? I know that the 40-second play clock has been a situation to where when that ball is spotted by the center official, that the next play has to be in. A coach is always thinking one play ahead as the offensive signal caller, Coach. And I know that's something that you kind of get used to from a timing standpoint, because some teams have an up-tempo offense. Some teams like to have 3 yards in a cloud of dust and like to take and evaporate as much time off the clock as possible, and that's how they're able to utilize a game strategy.
You know, the ones like you heard Coach Rose talk about a moment ago. Kevin Rose from Bob Jones High School was with us earlier this morning, and he talked about, because they're having some kids having to play both ways, that they're going to try to slow it down a little bit and take a bit more time off the clock to allow their kids to catch their breath, those kids especially that are going both ways. And when you don't have large numbers, a lot of times that's what you have to do. You know, if you're having four or five kids play both ways, you find ways to rest them. but at the same time, it can be difficult, so they try to slow it down. So knowing how to manage that clock, and the 40-second play clock, you know, is going to be a little bit different. That they, we had a study on that, or not a study, but we had a seminar on it this summer. And we went and listened to some officials tell us how it's going to work. And there's still, you know, I'm not sure about a few things because I've watched it in college and seen how it go, but I've never actually played into that system. So I really don't know how it's going to actually work. But I think it'll be fine. I think it'll help the game move itself along a little bit. And it helps kind of keep everybody in the same, you know, a lot of these teams that do a lot of hurry up, it'll kind of get you used to being a hurry. It's kind of a hurry. You're going to get ready. You don't have time to stand around there and look at it. You got to go ahead and get ready to go offensively and defensively to get set and get ready for the next play. But you have 40 seconds, and it starts when that referee marks the ball. And when he marks the ball, you know, and he spots it, boom, it's going right then. And there was not, and it's not like he's going to set it and he waits till this does, you know, this marker gets here. When he sets the ball, it gets started, and you're going to have to get set accordingly.
Also, we talked with Coach Kevin Rose about where his team feels and the rankings that have come out, and how do you kind of look past or look over the rankings, and what kind of motivation the Alabama Sports Writers preseason high school football rankings came out last week. And atop the Class 7A poll is the defending state champion Central of Phoenix City. Also in the 6A poll at the top was Pinson Valley. They're also the defending 6A state champion. When you scroll down and you look at the 5A poll, Briarwood Christian is atop the preseason 5A poll. The Class 4A poll, UMS Wright, the back-to-back state champions, Terry Curtis, was from wire to wire the number one team in Class 4A 1 year ago. Class 3A, Flemington, the defending state champions, come in at the preseason number one in Class 3A. In Class 2A, Fife is the number one preseason team. And in Class 1A, Mars Hill Bible is the number one ranked team. And we'll go into depth a little bit further as to what other teams were ranked in the preseason top 10 polls per our seven classifications here in the state of Alabama, because there are a lot of coastal Alabama and Baldwin County teams that are ranked throughout the top 10. But again, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And every team who's playing high school football wants to end their season at Jordan-Hare Stadium this particular 2019 football season, Coach.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we're going to look at that a little bit later on about these teams. But everybody starts out in a certain spot, and everybody's equal, 0-0 right off the bat. So we'll see how it goes. But how you finish, that's the whole deal.
Hour number two of the Prep Sports Report coming up. Don't want to miss a historic and nationally renowned head volleyball coach. Ann Schilling joins us at the top of the next hour here on the Prep Sports Report.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Prep Sports Report. Rick Cleveland on assignment this week. Mark Lasseter, Dalton Orwig, and Philip holding it down here at the Prep Sports Report, joining you 52 weeks out of the year. And his school starting back here this 2019-2020 athletic calendar year, we're looking forward to all the fall sports that are getting ready to start. And one of those that starts and probably seems never ending to this historic coach is Ann Schilling, just coming off of her 17th straight high school volleyball state championship. The Bayside Lady Admirals head coach joins us this morning on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Line. Coach, good morning and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
How you doing, Ann? You feeling all right this morning?
I feel great.
That's awesome.
I feel great.
All right, Ann, tell us about it. Now, you know, every year we have you on and we talk about the upcoming season and we talk about, you know, what your expectations are. And every year, you know, I just got to tell you, I'm amazed that every year y'all walk into every single gym with this huge target on your chest, on your back, everywhere you look, and everybody is after you. How do you guys deal with that and handle that? And when you prepare for your season and get ready to go for the next year or the next match?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we first of all, kids have been working out since, you know, January, and, you know, just with weights and doing some agility stuff, but anyway, before school. So they're all very committed. I mean, every single one of them did it. And anyway, so then we started practice Monday. We just kind of go through it. You know, the schedule is very rigid, of course, as you know, Mark. And we either win or we learn. You know, we don't lose. We learn something when we lose. So, and we just kind of go through. And last year we were extremely young. We started three freshmen, three sophomores, two juniors and a senior. Two seniors all got playing time. And then we got hurt quite a bit.
Right.
So this year everybody's a year older, a year better. I got 10 kids and they can all play, and I can move them around. I got a lot of options, so that's nice. But the kids just deal with the pressure extremely well as well when the time comes at the end of the season. So that's all I got really to say on that one.
All right, well, let me ask you, who do y'all open up with? Where do y'all start? Tell us a little bit about the first part of your season.
We start with Oak Mountain a week from Thursday. We play up there, and then we play in the Bodie tournament Friday and Saturday. And we've been starting out with Oak Mountain, I guess, the third year that we're starting out with them. We used to start out with McGill, and then that kind of went by the wayside because she started wanting to go up there and play in, like, Mountain Brook and Hoover.
Right.
So we start out with Oak Mountain on, like I said, a week from Thursday.
Well, you look at your tough schedule. I know it's a schedule that you always try to prepare yourself for that state volleyball tournament in your classification, Coach. You guys have been bumped up in classification, but I've always said it doesn't matter whether you play 1A volleyball or 10A volleyball because there's only 7A classifications here in the state of Alabama. 17 straight, these young ladies were in diapers and in the womb the last time that Bayside Academy did not win a state championship. So that tradition that these young ladies are able to carry on over, I think it goes not only to speak of your leadership, but the senior leadership and the upperclassmen leadership to pass it along to the younger ladies who are in your program year after year after year.
Yeah, it really does. We really consider ourselves a family. I mean, in the gym we had 7 through 12, and you know, the kids, we do a lot of things as a program, and I think that really helps them understand really the process of what we're trying to do with them, in the end. And, I think we have 32 kids, 30-something kids in the program, and and everybody's excited, and I think it's important, you know, for the older kids to, mix and mingle with the younger kids to show them kind of the way. And I mean, we do a lot of that, and you have to being a small school, you have to, and you know, just trying to be successful, with them in the end, they have to get it, and they have to start getting it early because, you know, you want them to be as committed as well.
You know, one thing, Ann, you mentioned a few minutes ago that I saw you guys do this last year was an early morning workout. Tell us a little bit about that. I think they came in at like 6. Is that correct?
Yeah, we did. You know, in years past, they've kind of always kind of worked out on their own. Well, they came to me in January, and they're like, you know, can we get somebody come in and train us, you know, early mornings? And I was like, sure. So, they were getting up 6:15 to 7:15, working out, taking showers, and then going into class. That started, you know, they did that for 5 months. But, you know, they've always done it. They've just kind of always done it separately. But I think it really has helped them doing it together this year. So that was something that we kind of added as well.
Coach, I want to talk about the growth and the explosion of volleyball here along the Gulf Coast. You look at McGill Tooling, winning the 7A state championship. Spanish Fort turns around and wins the 6A state championship. You win the 4A state championship. That's three blue maps that come to this part of the state. And the growth of volleyball, in you look at the convention center, it's full with over 15 courts of nothing but of AAU volleyball going on. What would you attribute the growth of that, and especially the championships that are coming south of Montgomery now in volleyball?
Well, we've always been an area, I thought, rich in talent, you know, even back when I played. But, you know, volleyball's just getting more popular. I think people are seeing it. You know, it's a great sport for girls. You know, it is a fantastic sport for, you know, you can still be a girl and play volleyball, you know, and some of the other sports you kind of have to forget you're a girl for a while, and that's just the truth. But I just think, you know, starting them out younger, you know, in club with the volley tots, and, you know, I know I've done it in our club, you know, it's just trying to start kids out earlier and earlier, and I think it's just kind of a sport where the parents are they enjoy as well, and I just think that's a huge part of it is the club world.
We're speaking with Ann Schilling, the head volleyball coach at Bayside Academy. And, Coach, I didn't mean to cut you off there. I just wanted people to know that they're speaking to a 17-time consecutive winner of the AHSAA State Championship in girls volleyball. And that's just a remarkable feat, Coach, that you're in and you're out, you're able to do that. And got you for a couple of more minutes here in this segment. But I really wanted to know, you have a lot of prayer warriors out there for you, Coach. I've had a lot of people to always ask me, how is Ann Schilling doing? How's her health? And talk to us and give us an update on how you're feeling and how your health is going.
Doing fantastic. Haven't felt this good in 3 years, and that's no joke. Anyway, I had surgery, and I had a mastectomy in April. And that's what you want. So I had that done, and, you know, I've fully recovered from that. I had to do some rehab after that, but I feel fantastic. Like I said, I haven't felt better in 3 years, and you know, kudos to my doctors. And the master healer upstairs, and I, you know, their prayers work. I'm just telling you, prayers work, because I was pretty bad, you know, about a year and a half ago. But you know, thanks to the good Lord and my doctors, I have done extremely well.
Well, Ann, you know how much we care about you, and I'm especially, you know, how much I care about you as my friend and colleague there, and it's so good to hear you're doing well and fantastic. A lot of prayers been going up for you. Everywhere I go, folks ask about you, and you mean a lot to a lot of people, girl. And you just keep doing what you're doing, and I look forward to watching you and your team compete again this year.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thanks care of yourself.
Thanks for having me on. Okay, yes. Take care.
Bye, Ann.
Head coach Ann Schilling of the Lady Admirals of Bayside Academy just finished up winning her 17th straight state volleyball championship here in the state of Alabama, aiming for number 18. She says she kicks her volleyball season off, and like you said, those 6 o'clock in the morning workouts get the girls started to let them know the type of dedication and type of grind it's going to be this season. But I know she's looking to add to the Bayside Academy Lady Admiral trophy case here in a couple months.
Well, did you hear what she said? How many she's got coming back off last year's state championship team?
Yes, sir.
They're pretty good.
Going to be good. And what's going to be great is joining us next on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Line, St. Paul Senior Reginald Bracey, the Iowa commit. Don't want to miss that.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines. Now, back to the show. Back
in high school. Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report. Corey LeBounty, Mark Lassiter, Dalton Orwick, Philip taking your phone calls at 251-343-0106. Joining us on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Line is 2020 St. Paul Saints Senior Reginald Bracey, and I would call him a cornerback, but he's a very versatile athlete. I saw him this summer personally lock folks up at the Marlon Humphrey Invitational Camp, and he won the defensive MVP out of about 50 or 60 campers there and was taught by Marlon Humphrey at that position, so I know that was special to him as well. Had Brett Neesat on earlier, and he was voted the outstanding offensive player at the Marlon Humphrey camp. So we had two local Coastal Alabama guys to win that award. But Reginald Bracey, good morning, and thanks for joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report.
Good morning, and thanks for inviting me.
You're very welcome, Reginald. Anytime. I've been watching you for a long time. Your mother and I were classmates at LaFleur High School, and I've watched you come up the ranks of Municipal Park and doing what you've done now for the St. Paul States, becoming a state champion, and also having an opportunity here recently to commit to Iowa. Tell me a little bit about what made you commit to the Hawkeyes and why you wanted to go north.
Okay, so first, when I received the offer from Iowa, it definitely opened up my eyes because when you live down here and you play football down here, all you think about is the SEC. So when I received a Big Ten offer that, I like to say, woke me up to there's other conferences in college football. So I went up there and visited Iowa, and it was not what I expected at all. It was great. It was an awesome atmosphere. The coaching staff was great. And I met the legend, Phil Parker, the DB coach up there, the defense coordinator up there. And just sitting with him, going through film, and his knowledge is just so much that I can learn from him. And I think it was the best opportunity for me.
No question about it. You're going to make the best opportunity for you. But academically, you're a pretty sharp student as well. And I know a lot of events that I've been a part of. A couple of weeks ago, they had the Love You Day here in Mobile, Alabama, to where they were giving back. The Love You group was giving back, the Rain group, to the community. And one of the volunteers that I saw there was yourself. So I know community service is one of the values that have been instilled not only by your mom but into you personally, and you just love to help others as well. Talk to me about what you like to do in community service and giving back and why you like to do that.
Right. So every summer, of course, I do the Love You Day, which is great. But I also go down to Camp MASH, which is an arthritis camp here in Mobile, and it's where people from all over the state come, like young children our age, like kids our age through like 7 through like 18, and they all have arthritis, and like they're just regular, and I get to play with them all week, and you think like they're regular just like you. They were just born with stuff they can't control, like they didn't ask to have arthritis. So it's just great, you know, meeting people with these disabilities and making their life better because they were set on a difficult road.
No question about it, Reginald. You talk about a difficult road. You win the state championship as a sophomore as part of the St. Paul Saints team. Then you turn around last year, and you have an injury to your elbow. And I know that just absolutely killed you, not being able to be a part of your team and contribute and keeping you away from the game that you love. But talk to us about how that injury is, how you're feeling, and your excitement for this 2019 high school football season, suiting up the last time as a St. Paul Saint.
Well, first addressing the injury, last year when I went down, it was big. It was big for me, and it was also big on our team because technically I was one of the veteran, although I was a junior, I was one of the veteran guys out there on the defense. So it was big on our team, and it was frustrating, but St. Paul's has a great medical staff, and we worked at it hard to where I can get back there for the playoff game. But I still wasn't 100, but, you know, that's when your heart takes over. And this summer, this offseason, I've been going crazy at my elbow. And now it's fine. I went through spring with no problems. Went through all of summer with no problems. And even going through fall camp now. So it's great. And I'm just excited for the season. I feel like we're more prepared than we were last year. And I think it's going to be a great season for us.
You open up the season against two-time defending state champion UMS Wright, the Battle of Old Shell Road, and you also have Park Crossing coming over to E.E. Delaney Stadium. You have Baldwin County and Blount. So that's a tough beginning of your season, Reginald. But I tell you what, you know, you're a very fast and physical corner. What part of the cornerback position do you like the most? And I know a couple of years ago, you played on the offensive side of the football as well. And what position do you like the most and why?
Okay, so this year I'm kind of at a safety position. So I like being what necessarily on defense called necessarily the star, because I think it's harder to – I have more impact on the game personally, and I think that's what my team, you know, plays – the defense plays well with me at, is at the star. So it's kind of like a corner where I can get down and physical with the receivers or roll down to where I can get physical with the running back. But also, yeah, in my younger years, I did play running back. And, of course, who doesn't like scoring touchdowns? So,
no question about it. Now, when you look at some of your teammates on offensive side of the ball, quarterback Jay Green for the St. Paul Saints, you look at running back Jordan Ingram, how awesome is it to go against those type of guys every single day? And what interesting dynamics does it have when Roger Schultz turns around and you got Lucas Taylor coming at you on that second level trying to get to you, Ivan Schultz coming to you on that second level trying to get to you and try to pancake you during practice. Does that help you become better as a safety, as a nickelback, or as a defender, period?
Yes, sir. That's why I like to tell, like, guys that are maybe this is their first year starting or they're rotating in and they get frustrated when they can't make a tackle on Jordan. And I'm like, look, guys, if you can tackle Jordan Ingram, you can tackle anybody in the state. He's one of the best running backs. So it's awesome being able to go against them every day, because they make Fridays so much slower and so much easier for us on the defense, because we're going against guys like that.
So, Reginald, just want to thank you this morning for taking the time to join us on the Prep Sports Report. Again, I've continued to watch your growth, not only as a young football player, but as a young man. And I know you have a younger brother who's going to be suiting up for the Saints this season as well. So I know you're excited to have the bloodlines continuing to be on the same side or on the opposite side of the ball sometimes with you. And just want to wish you the best, and just want to thank your mom for giving us the opportunity to network with you and to watch your growth as a player, and just want to wish the Saints the best, and looking forward to seeing you in that Iowa Hawkeye uniform next season.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Reginald Bracey joining us this morning on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Line, a young man who's going to get things done on the next level. And I think he's one of those players, Coach, to where here 4 years from now when Jim Nagy and the Senior Bowl go to have their watch list, even though he's going to be in a different conference, not the SEC, we'll be calling his name as to one of those guys who decided to go somewhere else besides the Southeastern Conference, but having an opportunity to come back home to Mobile, Alabama, and hopefully finish his collegiate career right here in front of the home folks in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I talked to, David Stapleton coached him, and David and I were talking. We had camp this week at Bayside, and we had some time to sit and chat. And I was talking with David about him, and he said he's just some kind. He's a fine young man, first of all, and comes from just a good person, good heart. And you heard what he said. You know, the other guys just say they're getting frustrated, and he tells them how to handle it. You know, that's what you do when you're a senior. You help guys that are below you get accustomed to what's going on, and not only just about, you know, what happens on the football field, but what happens off the football field. And that's what he said, kind of kid that Reginald is. And I think that's going to take him a long way in life, much longer than his football career, as to what kind of person he is. But Coach Stapleton said he's got all the tools to make it work.
No question. I mean, I know his mom, Lanisha Bracey, just did a wonderful job instilling in him the values of giving back. And that's something that you like to see when you listen to Absolutely. Your parents as a student athlete, for you be able to sign that scholarship on the next level. Just want to wish him and the Saints the best in this 2019 football season. Coming up next on the Prep Sports Report, we're going to talk some more girls volleyball with state championship head coach Gretchen Boykin.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
Welcome back to the Prep Sports Report, hour number two here, and we're talking fall sports. Today on the Prep Sports Report, have had a couple of volleyball coaches on. Now the second volleyball coach to join us this morning on the Prep Sports Report is a state championship coach, Gretchen Boykin. Her Spanish Fort Lady Toros had a phenomenal year last season and took it all the way down to five sets, and sometimes that's what it takes to get it done. It just shows your team how not to give up and how to fight through adversity, Coach. Good morning, and thanks for joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report.
Good morning.
Coach, we talked to Ann Schilling a couple of segments ago just about the growth of high school girls volleyball, and when yourself and McGill Toulon and Bayside are all able to win Blue Map, signifying that they're the state champion, what kind of competition and how does that help you throughout the season, knowing that you're going to have that type of competition here locally along the Gulf Coast?
Oh, I mean, that is huge for us. I mean, there's no way that you're going to win a state championship if you haven't put yourself out there playing the best teams. Because when you play teams that are good and sometimes better than you, it shows you where you need to get better. So, you know, every year I really try to get the hardest schedule that I can for the girls and tell them all the time. It's like we shouldn't focus on, you know, a record and if you win or lose, but as long as you're getting better every time you play. Sometimes you learn more from a loss than from a win. So, you know, that's really nice that we do have such good teams in our, you know, locally that we can play and be able to give us good competition.
Coach, last year you were 65-5 as a volleyball program. How do you grow from that, and how many returning players do you have coming for this 2019 season?
Well, grow from that, that's crazy. 65-5, like a couple of years ago we were 55-5, and I thought that was unreal. And then the next year we were 58-5, and I thought that was unreal. And so that's what, when we were setting some goals for this season, one of the players said something about, you know, a record. And I'm like, again, like, we need to just focus on getting better every time we play and don't focus on the record. I had five seniors last year. They were great players. But I have a huge senior class this year with seven players. So we have a ton of experience coming back and, you know, really solid in every position. So I feel really good about our team. And I honestly think we're going to be better this year than we were last year.
It's interesting that you say that, because Ann Schilling was on with us earlier and she said that she feels that, you know, as the team grows, sometimes when you have a lot of returning players, it allows you to be better than you were the previous year. But how do you keep the how do you keep the players as coaches putting on those blinders and not looking in the rearview mirror and continuing to look forward on the season that's at hand, and not, you know, necessarily losses may come along the way, but learning from those losses and not to kind of get caught on what you did last year and in the past, because if I'm not mistaken, you've won a couple of state championships at Spanish Fort on the volleyball end.
Yeah, you know, we won in 15, and then we won last year in 18, and we were runner-up in 16. So, you know, really to keep the girls motivated, it's just reminding them that now that our program is where it's, you know, gotten to be, that the target is always on their back, you know, and that every team is going to want to beat them, and they're going to get everybody else's best game, which that's a good thing, too. If you always get everybody else's best game, that means it's making you better all the time. So, you know, I just remind them all the time that I don't care who they're playing, that the other teams are going to bring their best game, and that, you know, we have to be prepared for that every time we play. I feel like my team is just super motivated. Spanish Fort has never won back-to-back state championships in volleyball, so that's kind of their big thing this year. You know, they really want to accomplish that, and that'd be something that this program's never done before.
Again, Coach, you're looking at your schedule. Who do you all open up with? When do you get started? And what are some of the tournaments that the Lady Toros will be participating in that we can follow right here on the Prep Sports Report and throughout this state of Alabama?
Well, we are actually traveling up to Birmingham for our opening day matches. We're going to play at Thompson High School. They have a beautiful new high school, and we went there last year, and we opened up there. This year we'll be playing Hewitt Trustville there as well as Thompson. So we do that on Thursday, the 22nd, and then the 23rd, 24th is the Juanita Bodie tournament. There's like 40 high school varsity teams in that tournament from Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama. A lot of really great competition. It's a great tournament. They play it at the Finley Center at the Hoover Met, and so everybody's under one roof, and it's just a fun opening tournament to kind of get to see all the competition right there all together.
We talked about 6A Region 1 in football being like the SEC West, but when you look at this preseason poll, you have the Lady Toros coming in at number 1. Then you turn around, you see St. Paul's jumping in there at number 3, Saraland at number 10. We talked at the beginning of this interview about the wonderful local talent, but when you start to have 4 and 5 teams in Class 6A from this area, I think it just brings out the best, not only in your players, but as coaches as well, just trying to kind of earn your mark and set your mark and make your mark. And you mentioned what the Lady Toros mark is, making history, trying to become the first Lady Toros team to become back-to-back state champions. So we're definitely going to be keeping an eye on you throughout the season as your season continues to progress. Look forward to speaking with you. And if you have any interesting or breaking news that you would like to call in and share with us at the Prep Sports Report throughout the season, we would always love to hear from you, Coach.
Okay, will do.
Thanks for joining us this morning, Coach. We're really glad to have you with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Coach Boykin, the head girls volleyball coach at Spanish Fort, trying to go back-to-back. And we're going to go back-to-back on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines and join David. Good morning, David. How's it going?
Doing great, guys. How's everybody?
Doing great, buddy. How you doing?
Oh, get ready for another hot day. I got people waiting here at the lot as I pull up. So.
Yeah, that's good. That's good news.
It might be a good day.
That's right, buddy.
Tell us a little bit about what you have on that lot and how you can go about financing and getting people in automobiles driving off of your lot.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have everything from $2,000 to $70,000 sitting on this lot and cars in between. If we don't have it, we generally get it. I mean, I've been looking at Bentley, Audi R8s, just through my last couple weeks for customers. So if there's a special car out there that you want, there's a pretty good chance I can find it. It's really that simple. You can get us at our website, cncfinancialautosales.com. You can come see us. We're right in the corner of Spring Hill and Moffitt, 3150 Moffitt Road. Or call us. We can do everything over the phone at 251-338-9019. That simple.
And tell everybody where they can find you.
Right there at Moffitt. We are right by the Crichton Leprechaun behind McDonald's, where Moffitt and Spring Hill split.
Thanks, David. I always appreciate you. And go check out David at the CNC Financial and Auto Sales right off of Moffitt Road. Great financing available and a great selection also. Thanks, David.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too, buddy.
Just want to thank fine sponsors like the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Group for supporting high school athletics. And, you know, Coach, I know you have plenty of fine sponsors as well. And just taking this opportunity to thank them for not only supporting our show, but high school athletics in general.
Absolutely. You know, our show stays on the air because of our supporters, the folks who sponsor us. And, you know, Blue Water Lumber is a big sponsor, have been for years. Robert DeNeef and his organization, they are just wonderful go-to. You can find them on BlueWaterLumber.com. They've got 3 locations around our area, Daphne, Mobile, and in Pensacola. You got Old Time Feed and Fairhope, Cecil Christenberry. And he's got a little YouTube spot that Dalton keeps will load up on our Facebook page that kind of talks about what he's going on for that week. It's about 1 minute, I think. And Chicken Salad Chick, you know, is another big sponsor of ours who comes on with us and just does a great job. Misty Whitehead does my contact person there. She just does a fantastic job with her. I think they're opening a new store in Mobile, I think. She mentioned that to me, and we're going to have her on the air in a week or two and learn more about that, about what she's got going on at Chicken Salad. But we appreciate these folks you know, the fine folks at Alpha and all the folks who support it. It keeps us on the air. We think this show's important.
It's very important, Coach. And again, if you're looking to sponsor high school athletics, please give me a call, 251-689-2629. I would love to speak with you about the opportunity to sponsor the Prep Sports Report to keep us on the air 52 weeks out of the year, because we really enjoy bringing high school athletics from an athletic director standpoint, a principal, coaching standpoint, player standpoint, 52 weeks out of the year. We love to do that. And Parker Dental does a wonderful job of supporting high school athletics. It's that time of year where you have park ball, you have soccer going on, you have volleyball. All these club teams, organizations need mouthpieces. You can get customized mouth guards from Parker Dental. Just give Hugh Parker a call. Let them know that you're a student athlete. They will give you customized mouth guards for free if you give them a call at Parker Dental. So again, there's nothing more important than having your teeth in place when you get hit or when you're playing. And because sometimes contact sports put you in a position to where you want to make sure that you do have a mouth guard or a customized mouth guard and built to the specifications when you're playing different sports. And Parker Dental does a great job of that. And they have over 4 locations that can serve you not only in Mississippi, but here in Mobile, Alabama as well. So thank you to all the fine sponsors that are continuing to keep us on the air 52 weeks out of the year. And we look forward to continuing to gain sponsorships as the Prep Sports Report moves forward. And we were sitting here talking with Coach Gretchen, and Dalton and I have a show called Sports Night on Monday nights that's right after the Paul Feinbaum show. And as we were interviewing Coach Gretchen, some breaking news came across Dalton, and it had me shook, really. Tell everybody who's listening this morning what's going on from an Alabama football standpoint.
Yeah, a lot of Crimson Tide fans were looking forward to seeing the true freshman, top recruit, Trey Sanders on the field this year. Looks like he's going to miss the entire season with a foot injury he suffered on the very last play of the team practice on Thursday night. Out for the year, they say.
That'll make you sick at your stomach if you're an Alabama Crimson Tide fan. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Prep Sports Report Camp Gray segment coming up next.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, all of us, I think it's human nature, all of us love an underdog. Everybody, you know, every time you watch I remember watching the United States and Russia play that hockey game back, I think it was in 1980, and it's in the semifinals, and the United States beats Russia. Man, it was like the underdog. We beat, you know, David slew Goliath, you know, that kind of thing. And so as you think about that, it happens, you know, all the time in sports, and it's a great story about what that's all about. There's a story, you know, I think God loves underdogs too. There's a story here about Gideon, who was an underdog. This story is a little bit lengthy, so I'm gonna go through it with you. Please bear with me as we talk about God loving an underdog, Gideon, the underdog. God loves an underdog, and I love stories where the unlikeliest hero or heroine wins in the end. It's like when an unranked college team upsets a ranked team, and they storm the court after the upset. Gideon is a perfect example of the underdog, but God often chooses those who the world has little expectations of so that God can receive the glory that he really deserves anyway. When the angel of the Lord came to Gideon and said, "Lord, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." This came during a time when Israel had fallen into disobedience and God had allowed the Midianites to oppress them. Every time the harvest was ripe, the Midianites would swoop down out of the mountains and raid the country and strip away all the harvest and livestock. And so Israel was brought very low because of Midian. And the people of Israel cried out for the help of the Lord. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Here is why the story is so hopeful. Gideon is the least of his clan. He is the runt of the litter, so to speak. He is in hiding when the angel of the Lord approaches him, and yet is called. He is called, O mighty man of valor, and go in this might of yours. You have to wonder if Gideon looked over his shoulder and thought, you mean me? The point is, God sees what is before, even before it exists. He knows the future and speaks as if it's already present, because with God, it really is. God knew that Gideon's tiny little force of 300 farmers and shepherds could never destroy a camp of 135,000 experienced, seasoned, and well-trained Midianite soldiers. But with God, all things are possible. It comes from Matthew 19:26. So don't ever lose hope, even when the odds look exceedingly hopeless. Later, they would later say of Gideon, God has given into his hand Midian and all the camp. So it was God's victory, not Gideon's. Thereby, God receives the glory. When you are able to say, I'm willing to go. I'll go and fight the fight. I'm willing to face it and go do it as you have commanded, my Lord. As you do these things and you see these things, we look at these every day, you know, and then this is a big example of a big deal of a big army and a small force fighting it. But these things are trials and tribulations we go through every single day of our life in some way, shape, or form. We look and we say, man, how am I going to get through this? How can I fight this fight? How can I win this battle? This foe of financial burden, this foe of things that I've done wrong is about to cause me to lose my job, this foe of addiction, this foe of whatever, I cannot defeat alone. So how do we do it? I don't know about y'all, I don't have an answer. But I do know where I can find some answers and I can find some hope. And one of the ones that we hear the most all the time is the 23rd Psalm. We hear it all the time. And sometimes I think we just hear it and we don't really listen to it. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack for nothing. He makes me lie down in the green pastures and leads me beside the quiet waters that refreshes my soul. How many times have you gone out into the country just to get away, to be by the quiet waters, to listen, to be able to absorb the refreshness of your soul just from being in the country? You don't have to do anything but look. It's beautiful. I love sitting by the lake or by a pond and fishing by myself and just taking it easy and looking at all the things that God has created. It refreshes my soul. It allows me to refresh that soul that I might go back into the world and be able to face what may be coming or not coming. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You get me ready. That's what I hear. You're getting me ready to sit down and face my enemies, whatever that enemy might be. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To me, that's a great scripture that gives us hope in the darkest of times. And if you're the underdog, like in essence, folks, the reason why I think everybody loves an underdog is because every one of us is an underdog to what happens in the world around us and into our own lives. And how we face it marks our character.
And Coach, what a wonderful verse. And so many times you hear that verse recited during funerals. And there's a reason that it gives us hope during a time of death or despair in the situation. And as we say each and every week, you know, the Camp Grace segment gives us an opportunity to give hope, to give faith, to give our understanding and share personal experiences that we've experienced not only as coaches, But as players, as parents, it gives us an opportunity to share our faith. And that verse, those verses do a wonderful job of giving us an opportunity to share our faith and what we're going through, Coach, in life. And God gives us hope each and every day. You know, you may have a bad day today. Your child may have a bad day on the field or in the classroom, but knowing that the next day is an opportunity to get better. Are you better? Did you get better than you were yesterday? And giving yourself an opportunity, knowing that at times in my own life, I've looked and been in some dark places and had some dark experiences to where I felt that the sun was not going to come up the next day. But when you are refreshed by verses and by things that are promised by God, that just gives you the ultimate strength, Coach, to push through and persevere. And that's what we're hoping all coaches and students and athletic directors and administrators are able to do during this 2019-2020 season. And that's one of the reasons we love bringing the Camp Grace segment to you each and every week. Great show today. Want to thank Kevin Rose, Reginald Bracey, Brett Nizat, Ann Schilling, and Gretchen Boykin for joining us this morning on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Line. The Three Amigos are scheduled to be back all together next week. Mark Lasseter, myself, and Rick Cleveland will be with you next week, bringing you the Prep Sports Report 52 weeks out of the year. Great show today, Coach. Always enjoy being with you, brother.
You too, pal.